Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you very much for joining me tonight, and I'm very happy to have you listening tonight. I am Jennifer Hellman, intuitive life coach, writer, and host of AIR. Tonight's guest is a very special person in my life. She actually is one of my teachers. Star Prentiss has studied with many masters, shamans, healers. She has the ability of curing the energy of cancer and other wonderful manifestation qualities. She is just one of the most amazing women I have ever met. So there's just so much to talk about. So I'd rather just bring Star in right now. Thank you, Star Prentiss, very much for coming in.
Well, you're welcome. It's wonderful to be here with you. Glad to hear your voice. Glad to feel you doing so well.
Now, you have studied for a long time. You have 400 subjects that you have been teaching on. You have helped and guided probably millions of people, either energetically or physically. Do you feel you've covered everything that you wanted to do, or is there something that you still want to learn and grow in?
Well, I feel that you have to grow your whole life. If you stop growing, you start getting old. If you stop learning things or think you know it all, that is when the aging process happens. So when people stop learning, life becomes slow, it becomes stuck. I believe that I have a lot to learn from my students, from my clients, from the world itself. And there's a place and time that every answer I get develops 5 or 6 more questions. That's what's happening with me. And having 50 years of being a spiritual teacher, I think I taught my first class in 1958, and going through so many things with so many people, and personally so many things myself, if you stop learning, if you stop participating, then you become very, very stuck.
I very much agree with that. When did you know this is the path you were supposed to take?
Well, it wasn't the path that I started on. I wanted to be a mathematician, a physicist at that point in time in my life. And God kept having me participate in healings and have miracles occur, and I kept saying, well, okay, I don't want physics. I'll get a degree in business, and et cetera, et cetera. So miracle after miracle kept calling me back to healing, kept calling me to teach the healing. After a while, I just gave up and said, okay, God, you win, you know. We plan, and God laughs. So
yes.
That, you know, and strange things have happened to me. And the more I think they're strange, the more I go out in public and find out that millions of people have had similar experiences. Hundreds of thousands can see colors around a person. People have touched people and they felt better. Where it's come from in 1958 to 2008 in raising our vibrations as the world does, is there's more people conscious that their thoughts, that their prayers, that their energies make a difference. There's more people conscious that they create their own reality, even if it's a bad thing. And I'm really liking this time on planet Earth right now versus the 60s or the 70s. And it's really good to see so many people actually being aware and conscious of what is going on in their life.
It really is quite an amazing time to be alive and to and feel the energy shift. And it's amazing how many people you walk up to and they instantly just understand what you're about, they're about, and it's really a wonderful time to be very aware and conscious of what's going on. With all the healing modalities that you studied, you recently wrote a book, and it's called The Healing with Energy, the Defining Guide on Hands-on Techniques from a Master. How did this book come about?
Well, the book came about probably, back in the 40s, and I was strongly sexually abused, and what I did after I got out of high school and in the middle of college is I went around looking for things that would heal my sexual abuse, energy, techniques. I traveled around the world, spent 16 years living with 13 different masters, teachers from China, India, South America, and Africa. And I kept, in the 70s and 80s, I kept seeing these healing books. So these healing books were wonderful books, but they had case history after case history in them. And maybe after 3-4 chapters, you'd get a little technique. And I was just really hungry and thirsty for the techniques. And when I wrote this book, I wrote it intentionally, put the techniques from 30, 40 years of learning techniques all over the world, and I put them in there without case histories, without me telling my story. I made it a manual where you can go in there, learn how to heal, learn what has to happen with the healer and the healee, and learn some techniques that you can actually do. You know, a little glossary to tell you what techniques work. And really, it's an amazing book because the techniques come from many, many years, many, many different modalities, and they're all put together simply and easily without a lot of opinions, without a lot of stories, and with illustrations of the hand positions, drawings of the hand positions, so you know if you're holding your hand right. And I'm very happy to say that the book won the 2008 Best Health and Healing Book of the Year by Cover, which is the Coalition of Visionary Retailers. So all the bookstore owners, they pick a best book in each category, and my book won that. So I'm very pleased about that.
And congratulations. It's well earned. Being blessed and honored to be part of your class. I was part of one of Star's intensive called Course Rush, and it was very intense, and it was very healing. I know it was a stubborn subject for Star, but it's long-term. I'm still getting more and more. It's like you started the ball rolling in healing the core issues that I had. And I personally just publicly want to thank you very much because it was much needed and much wanted. And you have your workshops, and I'm sure in this book, have just such a passion for this, and it really comes across. Now that you've gone into the healing, do you have any regrets?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have any regrets changing your pattern and following what God wanted you to do? I mean, you have a good passion for what you do, and you're excellent at doing it. Do you ever wonder what your life would be if you didn't go the path that you're on now?
Well, I kind of got a picture of it one day in a dream. I'd be sitting on a porch in downtown Detroit raising my illegitimate great-granddaughter. And had worked at an auto factory. I kind of just, if I didn't take that path, I kind of felt that the pattern of whatever the sexual abuse and whatever my family history would have repeated itself. And I would have been pretty stuck in my life and not being much of a help to myself and others. So I think I'm really happy with taking all these risks, going to places, and, you know, a woman didn't go alone in the 60s to South America and study with some woman in the hills. You know, I did a lot of risk-taking, And 90% of the risks that I've done this lifetime, and I'm talking about you two raising your vibration out there in public, is taking a risk where you get to experience things that are out of your paradigm. When you take in new energies, you see, feel, and hear new ways of being, touching, feeling things, new ways of living and thinking, you expand so rapidly, and your consciousness is being able to unfold the world. Now, this is a planet where we're supposed to teach love, but we don't leave our own living rooms or neighborhood to touch the rest of the world? Or you really want to raise your vibration? Then clean up your house. You know, when you think about all the junk that's in your house, metaphysically, it's in your head and it's in your heart. You know, you're doing all these wonderful spiritual techniques, and you're doing your prayers and your meditation, and you're taking your vitamins and minerals, and your life isn't working. Your relationship isn't working. And you have to look at your environment. You have to love yourself enough to respect your environment. You have to love yourself enough to go out in the world and present your vibrations to other places and people, even if you don't know them. And you got to love other people for teaching you how to be, and most importantly, for teaching you how not to be. People come to me 50, 60 years old and say, Star, I can't find a mate. And I look in their energy, and they're so mad at their mother or father, or so angry and so unresolved with them. And I tell them to do one thing that's very important, that has changed many a life of my client, that has cleared and raised vibrations for the last 8 or 10 years since I've been teaching this. I tell them, get down on your hands and knees and thank that parent for teaching you how not to be. Show some gratitude. Our soul chose that, you know.
Yes. Very much so. Is the technique about raising your vibration in the book? Or
correct.
Is there a technique to help people kind of get themselves in a better place towards healing? Or is it more the direct healing modalities?
And they can look at that in the book and check that out in the book. I would like to tell them that the greatest way to become a healer, the greatest way to participate in world peace, any place to raise the vibration without being a religious, without being spiritual, the greatest way is to participate in oneness. We separate ourselves with judgments. We separate ourselves with competition. We separate ourselves judging our own self. The greatest way to become anything you want to be is included. Include it if it's not appropriate with a prayer. Include it if it is appropriate by accepting the possibility and the probability that you will have it in your life. So raising your vibration is a thing you can do with out any tools. It is a thing you can do anywhere, any place, and it's important right now on the planet with the 2012 coming, all those other things, for the vibrations of all of us to be very high, impeccable, and open to participating with the all.
Now, one thing that I'm hearing from a lot of people is they feel like they're a sponge, and because they're sucking in so many people's energy because they're participating, they get scared to participate because they're not sure what energy is really theirs and which isn't. Do you have any suggestions on protecting them or still participating, but not taking on too much of the world around them?
Well, I believe that if you're grounded and connected to Source, that stuff will move through you. You will see somebody's anger. You'll say, oh, anger, okay, I'm not going to participate in that. Let me be there. I find that a lot of people in the spiritual community are so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. They're really involved in the spiritual, and they forget the ground. They remember that they are a soul having and a spirit having an experience, but they forget that they're having it in a human body. So for to go someplace, to participate with strangers, not to pick up their energy, make sure you're totally grounded and connected to Source at the same time. When we start in this wonderful spiritual unfolding process that we go through in our life, it's interesting to notice how grounded some people get, how spiritually high some people get, and the difficulty that it is to bring the two together. See, if you're not grounded, any energy can get in there. If you're grounded and you're not raised up in consciousness, then the energy stays the same forever. You become stuck. So basically, practice grounding. Practice being connected to Source. Things will go through you, by you. You'll smell them, see them, hear them. You may even feel them. But they won't stay.
That's wonderful advice. Is there anything else that you can suggest to raise up your vibration?
Well,
is there anything?
Well, where do we start? Well, there's about 100 things. You know, there's 100 things. You know it. You read about it all the time. Nutrition. Make sure you get something green. I know vegetarians who don't eat salad and vegetables. Make sure you get something green. Emotions. Make sure you handle your emotions properly. If you're angry and you repress it, it comes in the body, can cause cancer, can cause stroke, heart attack. Don't express your anger at work. Come home, read an anger workbook, get on the internet, read, study, talk to somebody about your anger or your other emotions. When you want to raise your vibration, if you're still thinking about what mom, dad, schoolyard bully did to you, then you haven't cleared that. For your vibrations to be clear, connected with Source and Earth, whatever memories hold a charge, a negative form, can be processed, can be chatted out in group and group therapy, can be painted out. There's hundreds of different ways to take an energy, extract it, keep the lesson, but yet extract the energy. So how do you know how clear you are? If you sit down and start remembering all the inappropriate, positive, negative things, if you can remember them, then they're not cleared. So raise your vibration by getting rid of some of your baggage, some of your garbage. Your mental body, the biggest thing, the anchor that keeps our vibration low in our mental body is called the default choice. And the default choice is like this. Your parents hate potatoes, you eat potatoes, you're going to make your kids eat potatoes. You're the same religion as your parents, your grandparents, whatever. You're in the same occupation. A default choice is a choice that was never made. You just fell into that because that is what was easy for you. You didn't look at other types of foods. You didn't look at other types of religion or spiritual belief system. You didn't look at other ways of being. A default choice is heavy because it is made by our DNA. It is made by the social aspects, environmental aspects of living with our family. It is a heavy choice. when you actually research your choices, look, see, and feel what you want to be or do, and make a decision, your vibrational rate jumps points upward. Many of us live with default choices. How do you know this? Well, you're 40 years old now, and stuff is coming out of your mouth that you promised you'd never say. You're sounding like your mother. You're sounding like your father. Your hair may even look like your mother's or father's hair. You still drive the same brand of cars they do. Default choices don't interact with the free will we were given here on planet Earth. So the more default choices you have, the more apathy, the more boredom, the bigger the hole in your chest is about wondering what life is all about. That joy of living, that vivaciousness, that passion that you see in other people comes from their energy participating in making choices of how they live, think, feel, and act. So that's a biggie. Default choices is a big thing to work on in raising your vibration. Many of us have vows. When we took a vow in a past life and we said, oh, I'm married to Jesus forever and ever as a nun, forever and ever means every lifetime. Many of us have had many a lifetime where we chose to explore religion, where we chose to explore a lifestyle where we swore things off. We vowed that we wouldn't eat till the children would eat. We vowed that we would not make money because rich people are bad. We vowed not to love because we were so hurt. One of the things all over all people, no matter what belief system they come from, that I find lifts and raises their vibration is to do vow removal. Now, you can look up vow removal on Google.com, and about the fourth one down there, there's a nice place that lists about the 118 types of vows they are and a great two or three ways to remove the vow. You do not ever want to say forever and ever, I will do this, I will love you, period. You don't say forever and ever or never. And what happens is our soul believes every word that we say. And when we say, I'll never love again, or I am only married to Jesus, when we say that, or I'm a monk, or I'll never eat again, those vows stay with us until we rescind those vows. So getting rid of your vows, looking up some vow removal, and you're taking care of that will definitely raise your vibration. Now, the next thing I think that really is important in raising your vibration is something called cutting cords. Many times we are attached to old boyfriends, to a way of being, to a house, to material things, to a cat that we had 20 years ago. We are attached to an ex-lover. We are attached to many things. And from us is an energetic cord, much like the little cord that connects our astral body to our body when we sleep, except the width and the density of the cord is directly proportional to the problems and challenges we have with them. So if you hate somebody, or like a husband or something like that, if you hate somebody, then there's a big, fat cord connecting to you, this person, because even if you haven't talked to them in 20 years, on this planet, what rules, whether it looks like it or not, what we're learning about is how to love. If you don't love something, if you lost something and did not let go of it, then there is a cord which takes a percentage, be it 1/1,000,000%, 1/10,000% of a percent, be it 1% of your energy. It takes energy to maintain this connection with these people, places, things, pets, ideas, and have a chord with the dream to be a ballerina or an artist that you've never acted on and you never let go of. So these chords, some people have hundreds of them. I've seen people with 400 or 500 of them, and I've seen people with 2 or 3 that dissipated as much as 50% of their energy.
Wow, that's a big number. Now, I'm sorry, go on.
Well, I think it's really important. You know, the teachers all teach about no attachments. And you're saying, what am I attached to in the material plane? Well, basically, if you're spiritual, if you've done your reading, if you've done your meditation, you're probably not attached to too many things. You may have a couple of things you're attached to. But the thing I find people being attached to is being right. Right why they divorced their husband. Right while they're not talking to their children. Right about what their parents did or didn't do. And look, if you look at your life, if you look backwards in your life, and you look at all the places that you lost a person that didn't work for you, all the times you were right, the energy that you put into being right and staying right is dissipating from your life force today, lowering your vibration. So I suggest that I do have an e-class at my website, www.starfuentes.com, and that's star with 2 R's, FUENTES.com. I have an e-class there on cutting your cords. It's important to do this. So let's take a second. Look back at what we've said. Number one, show gratitude for people teaching us how not to be. Number two, default choices. Number three, vows. Take care of your vows. Number four, to raise your vibration, is cut your cords. Number five, which I started out with, but it's going to be number five, is impeccability. That your mind, what is how your mind, your thoughts are organized, walk around your house. If there's clutter around your house, that's how your mind is organized. If there's clutter around your house, then that's exactly the same thing that is in your heart. It is in, you can clean that stuff up and you'll feel better. Clutter holds past memories. Clutter, if we wore a t-shirt last year, or 3 years ago, and we raised 15 vibrational levels, anytime we put that old t-shirt back on, our vibrational level has a tendency to blend with that old level of when we love that t-shirt. The trash around your house indicates trash in your heart and in your mind. So impeccability is really important in raising your vibration. So let's take a deep breath. You know, what we hear on the news today on CNN is the same amount of information that somebody in 1900 got in a whole year living on a farm somewhere in the United States. We have the iPod. We have the TV. We have the computer. We have our phones that talk to us. Like, hey, my washer now tells me when to come take the clothes out of it. It's a very busy, busy world. Everything communicates to us, be it in lights, buzzers, sounds, words, pictures. It is important to still yourself. Whether you sit outside in the woods, whether you sit on a meditation cushion and meditate, our lives need stillness. It's almost like jump-starting yourself again. When you bring everything, the thoughts, the feelings, the input, the data, to a calm state daily, get 5, 10, 15 minutes for an hour. All your body systems, all your energies have a tendency to reboot themselves, have a tendency to drop what we have healed ourselves from and to drop the ideas that we have let go of. Meditation, prayer, stillness of being is a necessity in raising your vibration. Do you understand how important that is?
Yes.
And people get it. And, you know, what happens is we're so busy being active that we accomplish very little. And one of my teachers taught me, do not mistake activity for accomplishment. And sometimes you like that?
I like that.
Do not mistake activity for accomplishment. Sometimes we keep ourselves so busy doing and being things that have nothing to do with being on our path, that keep us busy so we don't have to deal with our stuff to get clearer. And we said, but look at all the things I did. When I was with a spiritual teacher a long time ago, she was really, really smart, smart, wise woman. She said to me that the students, that the learners and the beginners, they do. And that the masters and the teachers and the high vibratory ones, they be. I always remember that. You know, when you feel like you have to do these things, when you feel like you have to keep busy, it's like, you know, it's like having the brake on and putting the car wheel spinning, or riding on a stationary bicycle, putting a lot of energy, not going anywhere fast. So choose with discernment. Choose appropriately what will help you accomplish something. Now, what keeps you busy so that you don't deal with yourself and with your issues? So I think it's really, really important to raise our vibration is to be able to observe ourselves, to be able to see, feel, and know the things that help us accomplish, the energies that help us accomplish, versus the things we do to keep busy or the things we do because we've always done them. So that's another big piece in raising your vibration.
It really is.
Yeah. So let's talk about another big piece. If you have not, do we have time?
We've got 15 minutes.
Great.
15 minutes.
If you have not cleaned your mother's stuff up and you've not cleaned your father's stuff up, then you have issues with the males and females on the planet. It is sad indeed that if you still resent your father, that you resent 50% of the world. It is sad indeed that Floyd, Young, and all those people who have always talked about our mother-father stuff are correct in a certain way. You're here. We chose our parents to teach us how to be or how not to be, and we're 60 years old, and we're still angry at mom and dad. I think clearing your male and female stuff, clearing your parents, is one of the most productive things that you can do. It teaches you a way to be with the energies. You know, we're humans. We didn't come in and everybody say to us, well, don't touch the stove, it's hot. The very first thing we did as little kids when mom and dad said, don't touch hot, is we touched it and I burnt our little fingers and cried. And sometimes as humans, we learn better, quicker, faster from the people who teach us how not to be. You know, I mean, we're big rebels. A lot of us are big rebels. I remember you guys waving flags and me marching on Washington. What was that, 70s? Yeah, that was a while ago. And we're real, and spiritual people don't take what is told them as a value. What they do is they explore it, push against it, with it, for it and work with it, but it's not meant to be right about your childhood versus your dad being wrong. It is not meant as a permanent energy in your life. Your mother and father taught you either how to be or how not to be. Either one of those are resolved with gratitude. Showing true gratitude. I don't care what they did to you. It made you a better person. You signed that soul contract. Mm-hmm. Work out your mother stuff. Work out your father stuff. And you will raise your vibration. Now, I've been talking a long time here. Is there anything you'd like to say, my dear hostess?
I agree with everything that you said, and especially the mother-father. When I came to you with the Core Plus, that was something we really worked on. And I've made peace with my parents. We have a much better relationship. So it really does help make things move and get things going by just understanding that literally they are your teachers, and to figure out exactly everything that they're teaching you and really appreciate everything that they are teaching you. I do have a question for you, though, on the vows and the cutting. On the vows, what is the best way to figure out what vows you've taken? I mean, obviously...
Well, it's really easy. The physical plane is a great teacher. Now, for example, if you don't have a mate, and maybe you've had a couple of marriages that lasted a couple of years, it'd be really interesting to notice that you have some type of vows around marriage, or you have some type of vows about loving again. If you don't have any cash, your cash comes to you, but you spend it quicker. You have vows about prosperity or poverty. If you're always sick, you have vows about healing or not healing. Whatever is going on in your life that is not happening, usually there could be a vow or a cord into your life that dissipates that energy over and over again. So how do you know you have a vow? Take a look at how you're living. You know, there's vows to beat ourselves up, you know?
Yes.
And we don't have to physically beat ourselves up, but we do something good and then negate it. You know, we do something bad and then we make it bigger. So if you take a look at that whole list of 100-some vows, and they go, the vow of this, the vow of marriage forever and ever, you look at the vows and you go, oh, yeah, big deal. But if you look at your life, what you truly, truly want and you're not getting, what seems every time that something seems to come up around an issue, but before you get your cash, before you get your mate, before you get your inner peace, something comes and interrupts it. I think you can tell which vow it is by what is really going on in your life. Which, if I was to ask you 10 people you really, really loved in your life, and then I was to ask you 10 people you really disliked in your life, then probably you have cords to the people you disliked. If you are imitating or pretending to be like instead of achieving the attributes of the people you like, you probably have cords. If I were to ask you what were the biggest disappointments, my husband, if you say my husband, not my marriage, if you say losing my house, not having to move, then you have cords on the physical plane to these attachments. So we know when we're attached to something because we have energy. You know, oh, my God, I wish I would have been a ballerina. And you think it for 20 years, twice a week. That's a cord. Cord takes away energy. It takes you out of now time. So did that answer your question about vows and cords?
Yes, it most definitely did. My question is that I have clients that they have repeating patterns, and they don't quite see how to break that pattern. Is it most likely a vow or cords that are keeping them in that kind of cycle? Or
it could be, and it could be being right. So basically, a pattern is called a pattern because one incident happens. Someplace, somewhere in your life, an incident happens, and you didn't get it. You didn't get about love. You didn't get about not judging. You didn't get that it was a lesson. So the lesson repeats itself. Maybe your lesson with your father repeated itself with the boss, repeated itself with the man you married.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the lesson, when you get that it's about your responsibility and choice, when you get to love, truly love, and understand that this is a lesson, this made me stronger, this is a good thing, this made me better, when you get it, the pattern stops. But if you take the pattern and take the last incident episode of that pattern, well, this and this happened, it's not going to unravel for you. Go back to the very beginning. Look at the pattern as it matured, and then ask yourself, what could I have done differently? How can I be with these choices now and accept them? And then the pattern can stop breaking. Most people look at a pattern and they look at the last time or the last 5 times they had that it happened, and they try to unravel it, think it apart, to heal it, to do something with it. A pattern is a pattern because it was the first time and it repeated itself over and over again. What you want to work with those patterns is figuring out, discerning the first time, taking that apart, seeing how, what you could be and how you can be with those feelings, those actions now, how you can see it's a lesson versus seeing somebody victimizing you. And then the pattern will dissipate. The pattern will disappear from your life.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes,
it is. Now, your book is available. I want to make sure we tell people where to get your book. And it's available on Amazon, and it is also
Amazon
available
and, Amazon
your website.
www.starfuentes.com. Starfuentes. Starfuentes. I have some e-classes on there. I've got, you can listen to me talk for hours. I've got a web radio show with I think, I don't know, like 12, 18 hours of me talking on different subjects. You can see my schedule. There's articles there. You can link to websites with pages and pages on sexual abuse, on the aura, different websites, informative websites on different teachings of mine. It is important to expand your consciousness, and most importantly, it is important to be grounded while you do that. So, Jennifer, what do you have happening?
Other than this wonderful show where I get to have wonderful people like you, it has helped me grow and learn and expand the different kinds of healing modalities. This radio show has really helped me express myself a lot better. Also, I am now developing a couple classes of myself for myself and doing a lot of writing. I am an intuitive life coach, so I'm doing the coaching and psychic readings still. So I am keeping very busy with all of that. So I'm having a lot of fun.
How can we reach you?
AngelsIntuition.com is my website. And if you want more information on the radio show, you can go to bbsradio.com/abstractillusion. Or you can go to abstractillusions.net, which is a support network for creative expression. And I'm kind of revamping that and getting a lot more information on helping artists and healers get their voice out there and get what they need to really promote themselves and understand all the options that are out there so they don't get stuck. So there's a lot of information on Angel's Intuition, and then pretty soon even more on Abstract Illusions. So I'm writing a lot of articles right now on that. So
that sounds really interesting and good. You know, it's really nice that people have so many places to go to get information. You know, the old days, you had to go to the library, find the library card, look it up, and then, you know, then somebody, you didn't have that many choices. And I'm just so glad that we have the Internet these days because it gives us access to so many different things.
Yes, I mean, I know people around the world now, healers and shamans and just all kinds of people we have a caller. If you are up for a caller, star, we do have a caller.
Oh, wonderful. Let's have a caller.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hi, James from New York City.
Hi, how are you?
Two comments. First about the Internet. While I do agree the Internet is a good thing to have, we also have to not, you know, forget about books completely, just because books, for the most part, do have more factual information. Because anyone can go online and, you know, write something about whatever, and it could be true, it could be 100% false.
Okay.
And well, that was the first thing, but I do think the Internet is a good tool and system. Second question, about the book she's selling. Is it only available on Amazon.com?
Absolutely.
It's are there any other sites that sell it? Just because I've dealt with Amazon and
Another book called Hands of Light. You can buy it on eBay. I've seen it on eBay.
I'll probably check eBay. But the new book might not be on eBay yet. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Okay. Well, check around. A lot of the bookstores carry it, so it's there.
Yeah.
And you can also buy it from my site.
What's the site again? I just turned in about 5 minutes ago. I can actually grab it from the other guy. Okay, well. Okay.
Yeah, the link is on BBS Radio, if anybody's missed it, for her website. And the other thing, if you have a local bookstore that you go to quite regularly, I'm sure they'll order the book for you. Do you think that'd be available for them, Star, if they wanted to order through there?
Absolutely. New Leaf Distributors carries it, so it's available.
Yes, and it is good that there are options for people to get the book, because it truly is, I know it has more information in one book that really is available in one place.
I really wanted a reference manual. You know, that's what I really wanted with the techniques. That's what I really do. And for the beginning healer who knows they have healing energies and doesn't know how to go about it, and for the advanced healer who goes, well, I've been doing it this way, what are some other ways? I think that life is very important. I think participating in life is what gives us the quality and the quantity and the height of our vibrations. Every book you read, be it good or bad, every person you talk to activates, stimulates, creates growth, creates things for you to ponder upon. It creates things for you to be amazed with. So participate. Take time every day to participate with the world through your computer, through a book, through a workshop, through standing in the grocery line and talking to a stranger. Raising your vibration is your choice. You can take the risk and do it. You can participate and do it. Or you can stay the same. It's all up to you. Jennifer, thank you, sweetie, for having me.
Oh, it is always an honor and a pleasure, and I wish you and your husband Art a beautiful holiday season. So I just want to wish you all the best in the very next year, and I hope to have you on again, and next time with Art, who's also a shaman and a wonderful man. Both of you are just beautiful healers and teachers, so I really would like to have you both on.
And everybody remember that the holidays are holy, even though that they are tests for us. Thank you, Jennifer. Everybody have a nice evening.
Thank you very much, Star. And again, Star Fuentes' website is Star.
www.starfuentes.com. STARRIFUENTES.
And with that in mind, again, thank you, Star. I would like to thank the audience for listening tonight. And with that, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspiration. Till next time, many blessings and good night.